Well, we continue our look at the Psalms of Ascent this evening, looking tonight at Psalm 127. Psalm 127, found on page 657 of your pew Bibles. Psalm 127, hear again the word of the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Let's ask God to bless our time of study this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. And we know we sorely need the leading of your Holy Spirit that we would understand rightly the word as you have been pleased to preserve it, that we might glean from it the lessons you have for your people, that we might serve you rightly to the glory of your name and to the good of our neighbors. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we find ourselves now in the middle of the Psalms of Ascent. This is the eighth psalm of the 15 Psalms of Ascent. And it may seem like it's kind of out of place. Up until this point, we have dealt with a psalmist who was desirous of being among God's people and to enjoy a community and a sense of belonging, of shared ideals and commitments and belief. A shared love of God and the desire of worshiping Him with fellow believers. We've looked at that same psalmist facing the challenges of that great pilgrimage, the dangers, and entrusting himself to the care of that one who would safely deliver him in obedience to his command to Jerusalem for those important feasts. We've heard from the psalmist that not all was rosy within Jerusalem, but that even there in the midst of that holy city, the psalmist was mocked and the psalmist was disappointed as he saw the commands of God being disobeyed and disregarded. And we saw last week as we looked at Psalm 126, that the psalmist cried out in prayer to God, "Restore our fortunes, O God. Restore to us our fortunes." But that works nicely then as we come to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, a psalm of Solomon, a wisdom psalm here in the heart of the Psalms of Ascent. An extremely practical psalm. Because as the psalmist has cried out to God to restore their fortunes, the fortunes of Jerusalem won't be restored only by prayer. But instead, it will be accomplished by prayer and trusting in and depending upon God and laboring in obedience to God's commands as He has ordained. And so here, at the beginning of this psalm, we have a reminder that these important tasks, that of building and that of being a watchman or security, are foolish for man to enter into relying only upon himself. This psalm isn't commanding us not to set ourselves to the work of building or of defending the city, but rather impressing upon us that no one of us will be successful in that aim apart from the blessing of God being granted to him. You see here that what the psalmist is doing is impressing upon us that while we have been given the commands to do these things, we do them in dependence wholly upon God. Now, we live in a country that prides itself on its individualism. We live in a country that prides itself on being able to pick itself up by the bootstraps. But here the psalmist is saying, that's prideful, that's foolish, that's wrong. For we have no ability ourselves like that to improve our situation. And the man or woman of God should know that our successes, our security, in fact, the blessings that we enjoy within this life all come by the hand of God alone as he is pleased to bestow them upon us. And so, here you are commanded to lean upon the Lord, to trust in him, to be content in the builder's hand, to understand your place as an instrument, a mere instrument in the hand of God to do his will as he is pleased to place you. But we see here that man goes astray when he trusts in himself and his gifts more than he trusts in God. Now, another thing that is, I think, important for us to see within this psalm, up until this point, the psalmist has been speaking of the pilgrimage, speaking of those three occasions each year when all of God's people were then commanded to go in obedience to God and participate within those festivals. That comprised just three occasions in the entirety of the year. But what is in view here is the rest of life, where God is giving direction to you about the rest of your days. Too often, too many people think that their Christian life consists of merely what you're engaged in right now. This hour or two on each Lord's Day that you gather are the defining moments of your Christian life, the epitome of all that God has called you to do. And it is the highest thing that he's called you to do, to gather and worship him. But the rest of the hours and minutes and days of your life are to be lived in service to him, in obedience to all that he has commanded. And so here we see that it is those other areas of life that are here being attended to or identified by Solomon for the people of God. If you remember, a few weeks ago, I used that illustration of how excited we are when we go to family camp, that mountaintop experience that so many of us who have gone away to the mountains like Horn Creek experienced as we gathered with God's people. And for the entirety of the week, we studied God's word together and we worshiped him together and we sang his psalms together. And oh, how refreshing it is when you're gathered with God's people in those times. But we all can attest to what that next week is like. That sense of coming off of the mountain, when all of those usual pressures are exerted upon us once again. And it's these things that Solomon is here commending to you. That by God's gift and his graciousness and mercy to you, you're going to awaken tomorrow and you're going to set to the everyday tasks once again. How will you get through them? Ah, their old hat. I've done it this many years, this many weeks before. I'll just do everything I normally do. I'll lean upon my strength. I'll lean upon my mind. I'll lean upon my energy to do these things. Or as you awaken tomorrow, will you pray for God to sustain you through the day? Will you pray that God will give success to all of those things that you lay your hand to in obedience unto Him? Not that you may receive the glory and acclamation of men around you, but that His name would be glorified as others see how you walk through these difficult activities of life, encouraged and hopeful and comforted in the fact that it is our Heavenly Father who is pleased to work through you and work out all of these challenges that are before you. You see, too often we go through it by our own strength, and we see the warning of that here in verse 2. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. And that's how a lot of people get through their life. Trying harder, working themselves to the bone, burning the candle at both ends as they lean upon their own strength and their own abilities rather than entrust themselves to the Lord. But it's a marked difference we see here that is the situation of the man or woman of God. Those who will lean upon God, those who will call upon Him, they're described here as those whom God is pleased to give rest and allow them a good night's sleep. Some of you have faced very difficult things in your life and perhaps have been forced to lay those things upon Christ because you had no more energy, no more wisdom that you could offer to these things. And you can attest how God was pleased in that time to give you peace and rest, an unusual rest you hadn't anticipated, because up until that point when you were trying to carry this burden all by yourself, there was no peace, there was no rest apart from Christ. And then it seems like He makes a strange break. We go from here being commended to lean upon God, the one who will allow for the successful building of the house, whether that is your house, whether that is God's house, whether that is Solomon's temple, or those who would be the watchman and that security that we desire, to this talk of children. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are the children of one's youth. If you recall, the psalmist had in the preceding psalms written of the evil, not only that was around him when he lived afar off from Jerusalem, but also the evil that was to be found even within the city of David, in Jerusalem. But here we see, again, one of the means or tools that God is going to ease that concern, is going to overcome that concern. How is it that God is pleased to root out evil? But don't we see that God builds His church? Don't we see that God commends to His people that they would multiply and have dominion over all the creation? Why? That those whom God's people give themselves and those godly parents give themselves to inculcating a knowledge of God to their children might be those effective arrows that God will use to both protect His people and His church, but also that God will use the children of His people to testify of the goodness of Christ, that we may see the church and His kingdom continue to stretch forward. You see, the psalmist was concerned about those who were making a mockery of the Word of God. And certainly that's one of the heavy concerns that rests upon our heart as we move into this election week, isn't it? Those who would make a mockery of the law of God, those who would seek to cast it away, those who would seek after the wisdom of men rather than seek for God's direction as He has been pleased to preserve it for us within His Word. And he says, people of God, there is a way that this evil can be pushed back. Rest upon, lean upon God, trust in the Lord as you would establish godly families. Understand that the children that He is pleased to give to you are His gift. They're not of your design, they're not of your numbering, but they are the gift of the Lord. Some here don't have children or aren't in the process now of raising their children. That doesn't mean that this portion of God's Word has nothing to say to you. Because we operate here within the body of Christ as a family who labor together to see the precious ones that God has raised up in our midst, confronted with, inculcated, steeped in the Word of God, that they may be sharpened, that they may be equipped to a level and a degree that exceeds even the level that God has been pleased to give to you and I. That we might see, as we read of in Isaiah 52 and in Isaiah 27, that powerful arm of God on display as He is pleased to raise up the next generation of those who would serve Him, those who fear Him, those who love Him. Many of us have been scratching our heads, wishing that we had godly rulers that we could vote for, who made it abundantly clear that they love Christ and seek the leading of the Lord in all that they undertake in their life, from the most menial of tasks to the most important offices of the land. How will God accomplish that? But that He'll be pleased to use you and I as His instruments in this pivotal time in the lives of our children, to take them through the Word of God and to speak to them as we get up, as we walk along the road, and as we lie down at night about the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. It may be one of the children that is sitting among us that God is pleased to work in their hearts and to give them the equipment necessary to build a most impressive city. May God be pleased to work in the hearts of our children. May God be pleased to cause us in all matters of our life to trust in Him and to lean upon Him, to give up those ways of our old man, to rely upon ourselves, but instead to trust on the Lord. We know from God's Word that God was pleased to restore the city by a child. God was pleased to restore Jerusalem by a child, His Son, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Him, He has done this good thing. By Him, He is pleased to bring about good things in the lives of you and I. And may the Lord be pleased to fill our hearts instead of with dread and fear, with hope in the things which God and God alone are capable of doing. May God build his church. May he bring reformation in this nation and all the nations of the world to the glory of the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, while we see evidence of evil all around, yet in Christ, Lord, we do not despair, but rather we entrust ourselves to his most capable care. Lord, as we go forth from this place to again engage in those responsibilities that you have given us, whether they be within the home, within the workplace, or at the city gate, may we in all of these things rest upon you. Direct our steps. Work through us as your instruments for the glory of your name. For Lord, anything that we would set our hands to apart from you is vain, is utter foolishness. But everything, Lord, that we undertake by your lead, you accomplish your wonderful purposes. Help us, Lord, to see and understand. And fill our hearts with thanksgiving as we have opportunity to see your strong arm on display. Lord, we pray that you would be pleased to grant many arrows. Lord, we have already prayed this evening that you would bring forth laborers. But Lord, your church needs many kinds of those ready to labor. And so, Lord, we pray that you would bless your church, that you would guide your church in the instruction, that important work of training up the youth, that you would give wisdom to parents as they seek to that task that is far beyond anyone who is a parent, as they would seek to serve you and teach their children about the Savior of Israel, Jesus Christ. Use us for your purposes in the coming days, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.